It's 7 p.m. Thursday, and this is All About Wine. With All About Wine's resident wine expert, Ron, Vice President and General Manager of Florida Estates Winery in Land O'Lakes, Florida.
First, we were talking last week about Asian wineries and Asian grapes. We're going to finish up Australia today. That's what we're doing with France. So we're continuing with France. Basically, what we're trying to do on this program is trying to educate people and trying to make wine less confusing and more friendly. Mike and I were talking about is the possibilities of hooking up with different wineries in different states and finding out what's going on. Sounds like it might be a whole lot of fun.
Holyfield Vineyard and Winery in Basser, Kansas.
Organic Farm on the coast of Maine near Mount Desert Island.
Westport Rivers, Westport Mass.
Haverhill.com. The Napa Valley of the Midwest.
RainbornWines.com in Santa Rosa.
Ten Spoon in Montana.
Alba Vineyards.
We're the largest estate vineyard in New Jersey.
Heritage Vineyards and Winery, New Jersey's top-rated winery for 2011.
India Vineyards on Route 93, that's the main highway coming right up the center of New Hampshire out of Massachusetts.
Bebock Winery, we are actually the highest-rated red wines in New Mexico.
Well, Southwest Wine is actually located in Deming, New Mexico.
Well, La Viña is the oldest winery in New Mexico.
Castello di Borghese, the first winery established in Long Island.
Rocket Lake Winery, and we're located at Glacier Park in Montana.
Mammoth Prairie Winery in Moscow, Idaho.
Brotherhood is America's oldest winery since 1839.
Ithaca, New York, College of Agriculture and Life Sciences, grapesandwine.cal.cornell.edu.
The website is freethegrapes.org.
All right, grab a phone and let's talk about wine tonight. Dial area code 646-727-3235. That's 646-727-3235. All right, let's start the show and let's talk about wine.
I don't know if you noticed that, but the bus people are over-enthusiastic because it's fairly warm here, and Denver is like 33 degrees. So,
just about everywhere else in the country is cold. Yeah.
Yes, it is. Cold fronts are running down this way. We're probably going to get into, the 60s?
Yeah, I think it's supposed to drop maybe the low 60s. But
okay.
I know.
Get the winter coats out. We just had a call from the 419 area code, which is our destination tonight, and tried to get them on there. I heard some background, somebody talking in the background, and then they disconnected or something happened where it was disconnected. So if you're calling from the 419 area code, and unless you're one of the guests, because I'm getting ready to call our first guest tonight, then call us back if you'd like to get on the program. Otherwise, if it was previously arranged to talk on the show tonight as a guest, I will be calling you momentarily. So call us back if you want to get on the program and talk all about wine. So, but I heard something in the background, and I kept saying, hello, nothing. So
I don't recognize that number either. That's not one of the numbers that I called contacted today. Yeah, oh, well.
Yeah, interesting. Well, here we are.
Here we are. Welcome back, Mike. You were...
Well, thank you. I was off.
Busy last week, so good to have you back on the program tonight.
Thank you. Yeah, it's great to be anywhere but there. So it's over with for another year. Yay!
No more Halloween. I do want to bring up though quickly here. Mike does a program on another blog station. It's a radio station, Sky Blue, actually.
Oh yeah.
And this last Sunday evening, he went and did a live broadcast at a haunted something. What was it?
It was a building in St. Augustine.
Oh, St. Augustine. Okay.
Yeah.
What? I knew it was something haunted. I wasn't sure what it was. I couldn't remember. That's all.
Yeah. It was different. Anyway,
did you get scared?
I'll have to. That was a shock. I'll tell you about it sometime. It was different. But yeah, it was good. It was a good Sunday. I had to do an extra hour that I wasn't prepared for. I started at 6 p.m. instead of 7 p.m., and that was interesting. But because it's all time based, and it's like, starting early all of a sudden, surprise, but that's okay. It worked out, and finished the show one time, and it was interesting. It went pretty good, actually. So
did you see Ghost?
That's a good one. yeah. I'll let's go to the weather today. It's going to be sunny with a high of 74 degrees.
All right. Yeah.
Oh, that was a shock.
Well, I knew you were supposed to went out and do any live broadcast from a haunted building, and so.
Well, since it's going to be revealed this coming Sunday, it was actually a pre-produced thing.
Oh, okay. Sorry if I gave away trade secrets.
No. They knew about it afterwards. Oh. Well, some of the people did, but it took about 3 days to produce it and put everything together, and it was recorded in 10 segments. But people out there actually thought I was in St. Augustine, and it was made to be that way. So, but Sunday is going to start off with, it's like all a dream type of thing, so it's going to be interesting.
Oh,
so,
well,
there you have it.
Sky Blue Radio, if you want to find out.
Well, thank you. Yeah.
So Mike does the program there. Well, all about wine. We are in Ohio.
Wow.
And
we have, it sounds like we have another, week or two on Ohio?
Yeah, well, probably at least one more, maybe two, yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Well, there's like 128 wineries in Ohio. It's a lot of wineries in this little state.
Yeah, that's surprising. Amazing. Let me bug out and get our first guest.
All right. Well, let me introduce the area here. We are going to be in Northwest Ohio. Northwest Ohio has a wine trail. There's 22 wineries in this wine trail. It's a driving tour. Quickly, the wineries, and I apologize to anyone out there if I pronounce these names wrong. Gelbar Winery, Gelbare, located in City, Ohio. That's what it says here, City, wherever that is. Gelbar Winery is part of the wine trail. J.W. Dover and Heartland Winery in Westlake. John Christ Winery in Lake. Kingshorn Winery in Lake. Single Tree Winery in Amherst. Mattis Winery in Road Wakeman, which we will be talking to them later. Vermilion Valley Vineyards in Wakeman. Paper Moon Vineyards in Vermilion. Quarry Hill Winery and Orchard in Heights. D&D Smith Winery in Norwalk. Herms Vineyard and Winery in Sandusky. E&K Winery in Sandusky. Farland's Winery in Sandusky. Mon Ami Historic Winery in Roadport, Clinton. Heinemann Winery in Ohio, the P.O. Box, which is on an island anyway. Another island winery, Kelly's Island Winery. Chateau Tabou, which is who we'll be talking to first and next year. And Ottawa Winery, Jolin Century Winery, Stony Ridge Winery, Hillside Winery, Cypress Hill Winery. These are all part of the Northeast Winery Wine Trail. But we are going to be talking to our first one, which is, and I'm sure I'm mispronouncing this. I say Chateau Tabou. It may not be correct. We have a couple of people on the line. Let's see. Who do we have here? We have Mary, who is the owner, half owner with her husband, from Chateau Tabou Winery. Let me get Mary on the line here. And hello, Mary, you there?
Hi, this is Bob and Mary. You got the winemaker, too.
Oh, fantastic. Fantastic. Glad to have you both on the program with us tonight. Thank you for joining us. I got your website here, and I can see both of you what you look like, so I've got you at an advantage. So tell us about, pronounce Chateau.
It's Tabou, Chateau Tabou Winery.
Okay.
And we're in Helena, Ohio, which is about 7 miles west of Fremont.
And for all
here in Northwest Ohio.
Okay, and that's how far from, say, Cleveland?
Oh, maybe
about an hour from Cleveland.
West of Cleveland.
We're kind of between Cleveland and Toledo.
Okay.
I would say just Toledo.
Oh, okay, closer to Toledo. What got you to that part of the country and starting a winery there?
Well, we moved down here because my parents, we've been in a long-term care business since 1961, taking care of the elderly.
Oh.
And they bought additional facilities in Clyde and Bellevue, Ohio, in 1980. And so when they needed somebody to take care of the bookkeeping and the building maintenance of their new facilities, so they asked us if we'd move in with them or come in and join their business.
Right. So we've been doing that for the last 31 years. But we
recently
sold the existing homes, and Bob has been making wine since the early 80s.
Oh.
And we had this 36 acres here, so we decided to try to make something out of our little farm. And with his knowledge of making wine and the land here being nice and it's limestone-based, we're right next to a limestone quarry, and we decided to try to plant some vineyard, some vines, and the vines are doing great. So with our first 300 vines, we decided to go ahead and start a winery. And it's been uphill ever since. Bob's added another 1,700 vines.
Wow.
So we have about 2 acres in vines. And
right now we have six different varieties of grapes that we grow. We have 2 different French varietals and some selected French hybrids. And right now we have, for reds, we have Cabernet Franc, Noray, which is a French hybrid from the
Noray
University. Noray.
I'm not familiar with it. Tell us a little bit about that Noray.
Noray is a French hybrid developed by Cornell University for winter hardiness in the Midwest. And it's good to 15 below zero, and it's a very, very, it's one of the best French hybrids that have been developed recently that do not have the French hybrid characteristics of being, it's more like a French varietal in its character. It has good tannin structure, has very good color, and it doesn't tend to have the herbaceous flavors of some of the French hybrids.
Wow, interesting.
We just released the Noray here, probably about 3 months ago for our first release of it here in our winery, and it is just doing wonderful. I think it has a lot of potential for a deep, dark red for the state of Ohio.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that sounds interesting. You don't blend or anything. You're just doing a straight Noray then?
The straight Noray so far, yes. We have blended in 2010. We got a very small crop because our first 300 vines came in. And so we blended that Noray in with our Merlot for 2010. And it really added some really interesting character to our Merlot. And but this year we made our Noray as a pure varietal on its own.
Uh-huh. You mentioned Merlot then? Merlot, another one that you grow there?
No, we don't grow Merlot, but we do a Merlot because most people walk into the wineries and they ask, you know, their first words out of their mouth is, what do you make that's like a Merlot?
Oh, I know.
What do you make that's like a Riesling?
Yes, that's always it.
We do both.
And those are good wines. We have a Merlot and a Riesling.
But right now, we make, for our reds, we do our Cabernet Franc, our Noray, and a Frontenac. Frontenac is a Minnesota hybrid developed at the Minnesota State University for the really cold winters in Minnesota. and it's hardy to like 40 below zero.
Wow.
And so we don't have to worry about vine damage on that, like we do on our other French hybrids. And then with our white wines, we have Pinot Gris, Treminet, and Vignol. And those are our three white wines. And we haven't had a lot of experience with Vignol yet. We harvested it this year. It looks very good. We have about 60 gallons of, about 110 gallons of Vignol. And it's going to be a semi-dry or a semi-sweet is the way it's going to be treated this year. And we had a very difficult year with a tremendous amount of rain. And you know that's not good for grapes.
Not at all.
But our harvest came in higher in bricks than we ever expected. We had some 21 brick varietal. And some of them around 17. It was a lot higher than we expected. And with our Cabernet Franc, which is our first year for that, we did what's called amelioration by raising the Brix level or the sugar level of that wine by adding Cabernet Franc concentrate from California. Raised the brick levels on our Cabernet Franc. Now, our 2010 Cab Franc, we added some body to that by adding 17%
Syrah
from California.
Oh.
And it gave it a really good balance, boosted the body of the wine, and gave it a very good full body flavor. It, I would say it's one of the best dry reds I've ever made.
Wow.
We have a nice selection on our menu if you step out to the winery. We have a nice tasting room, nice big fireplace. Encourage people to check out our website. Also, we're on Facebook. And we also have a menu, so you can get a little something to eat here along with your wine tastings. We do live entertainment on Friday and Saturday evenings. So, gosh, if you're anywhere near, make a plan to stop by the winery here just outside of Fremont, Ohio.
That sounds fascinating. Do you have a restaurant, or is it just...
It's more like a...
People see us as a restaurant more than a winery.
Well, it's not really... We're not a full-service restaurant. We have sandwiches, soup, salad, which usually
dipping
comes
bread.
In the day, dipping braids, cheese plates, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Sounds like enough to fill you up. I'd call that a restaurant.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's not a special order.
We don't want to be a restaurant. We'd prefer to be a winery, but some people think we're a restaurant, so...
Yeah. Well, your grapes that you just mentioned, the six that you just mentioned, how many acres of each do you have?
We have 300 vines of each, and we have 2 acres total of all the vines we have. We have 300 vines of each. Gives us about, you can get about 5 pounds of grapes per vine. So if you do the math, you can figure out how much that is.
Yeah, but we bring in juice and grapes from other growers.
Local?
We have some contracted vineyards that we do business with. We have other wineries that we do business with. And
in Ohio,
we work with growers in New York.
Oh, okay.
Because Ohio right now does not have enough grapes to support the amount of wineries that we have. So the Ohio Grape Industries has a grant program right now for people interested in growing grapes to produce grapes for the wineries that we have in Ohio because we just don't have enough.
Wow!
And so we have to go out of state to like yesterday or 2 days ago. I just ordered 3,000 gallons of juice out of New York, and I wish I could get it from Ohio, but Ohio doesn't produce enough grapes to provide enough juice for our needs. get in contact with the Ohio Grape Industries, they can tell you about the new programs they have for producing grapes in Ohio.
So if someone wants to get into the grape growing business, Ohio is the place to go.
That would be the place, yes, definitely. There's a lot of need here, yes.
What type of soil do you have in your vineyard?
Right now, we live right next to a limestone quarry, and we have what's called, I can't remember the name of the soil. The soil changes. It's like a sandy loam is what they call it.
Mm-hmm.
And but it's got a bedrock base at about 10 feet, 10 to 12 feet of solid limestone. And there's a lot of rock in the soil, which makes grapes very happy.
Yeah.
Because grapes
good
do grain. Not, they like a well-drained soil. They do not like to stay in a soil that gives them wet feet.
Right.
They like to be drained very well. A lot of grape growers in northern Ohio along the lake have to tile their fields to keep the water from laying on the vines. But here at Chateau Thibault, if we get 2 inches of rain or 3 inches of rain in one evening, by the next day, it's all gone.
Wow.
It's leached out, and the grapes love that. And if you come out and look at our vineyards, you'll see that they're very happy.
That's another thing you can do here at our winery. We have 36 acres, and we have wooded trails. You can take your glass of wine and take a stroll through the vineyards. You can go out on the trails in the woods. So it's really a nice place to spend the afternoon.
Sounds fantastic. I mean, it just your winter highs and lows and your summer highs and lows. What temperature did you hit?
Well, in the winter 2 years ago, wasn't it? Right after we planted our first vineyard, we planted Pinot Gris as an experimental French varietal, and because we didn't know for sure what we could grow here. And the first year that we planted our vines, we had 15 below in the middle of winter in January.
It was 3 days in a row.
3 days in a row, which was very deadly to the vines. And
wow.
It caused a lot of disease in our Pinot Gris. A lot of our other vines, they survived very well. The Frontenac was very healthy. The Noray handled it very well. Every French varietal handled it quite well, but the Pinot Gris developed a disease called crown gall, which was because of damage from the winter. And we've been trying to recover from that since, 2 years ago. And the only thing you can do about what we do to protect our vines in the winter here in Ohio, is we have a tool called a green hoe, and all of our vines are, except for a certain selected vines, are grafted. And what we do is we fill up the vines with dirt in the fall, and to protect them from the winter cold, so that the graft union will survive.
Right.
The vine itself above the dirt may experience severe cold weather, and it might kill the entire vine, but the graft union survives. So when we pull the dirt away in the spring, if the vine dies, we can cut the vine away, and a new vine will sprout from the graft union. So we don't have to start from scratch, okay? So I'm in the process right now. I've got my south vineyard completed with the hilling, and I got my north vineyard to do yet. So we'll hill them up and protect them from the winter. So at least that way we don't have to plant an entire new vine.
Wow, very good. What?
When
do you get bud break in the spring?
Oh, it's usually, geez, you're asking me some difficult questions. I don't have my notes. It's usually in April.
Yeah, I was going
to
say.
It's in the mid to late April, depending on the variety. different varieties bud out at different times. And some of them may bud out in May. We get our last frost here in Ohio in May. And there's like Cabernet Franc, and a lot of them will bud out in late May to early June, which is a very good thing for our temperatures here in Ohio. But as a rule, I mean, you have microclimates where we have our north vineyard and our south vineyard, and they're no more than 1,000 yards apart. But the one vineyard experiences frost damage and the other one doesn't. And I don't know what causes that, but they have those microclimates everywhere where you have vineyards. And if you are experienced enough to, you know, take advantage of that knowledge, which I was not when I first planted my vineyards, you would know where to put your vines to get less exposure to frost and other damaging weather effects, you know.
Right.
But our south vineyard is, like I said, 1,000 yards difference, and there's hardly any frost damage there.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, it is amazing. It's amazing how frost will, and they're on the same plane, everything.
Yeah, we're pretty flat ground right here.
Yeah, but I don't know if it's because there's more trees closer to the north vineyard, and the south vineyard is more exposed and is closer to this big drop-off that's at the quarry. You know, the quarry is only a couple hundred yards from the south vineyard, and the floor of the ground drops by at least 300 feet to the quarry. So maybe the frost drops into the quarry and doesn't fall on the vineyard. I don't know.
Sounds like a reasonable assumption there. That sounds like that probably is what happens, you would think.
It could be, you know, because there's no... I mean, you can have one vine damaged by frost in the south vineyard, and you can have, you know, 50% of them on the north vineyard, you know?
Yeah.
And so I don't know what causes it, but it is a microclimate situation that happens in Ohio.
And probably, you know, a light frost or freeze after bud break is probably the worst enemy we have here in Ohio.
Yeah.
Everywhere, yeah. Everywhere that gets that late freeze, that's a critical thing. Once that bud break, then... What was it, in 2004, that all that part of the country had some serious, serious freeze, late freeze, and really hurt a lot of the wineries?
Yeah.
Well, 2004, we weren't here yet, so...
No.
We're fairly new, but we're growing fast.
Do you use stainless steel or oak or a little bit of each, or what?
We use both. I just finished my 2010... Cabernet Franc. It was an Ohio-grown Cab Franc, not from my vintage, but one that was grown very close to here. And we blended that with a 17% of a California Syrah, and it is an excellent wine. And it was aged in American and French oak barrels for an entire year. And some of the barrels were pretty much used up. They were almost just you would call a neutral barrel, not imparting a lot of oak. But we just bottled that a week ago Saturday.
And
the rest of our wine, we do a lot of it in stainless steel. Matter of fact, I just started a Merlot today for 2011, and we put in American oak chips for that to give that the oak flavor. We use oak staves. We use oak emulsion. Oh, they're like a little tube that you put the chips in, put them into your barrels that are pretty much used up. We have most of the tanks we use are variable capacity tanks that have floating lids, and that's so that we don't have to use a lot of CO2 to, or gas to keep, or argon gas to keep the oxygen out of our wine. We have 500 liter tanks, 600 liter tanks, 1,000 liter tanks, and 2,500 liter tanks.
Wow.
And right now we have a lot of juice that we're just, like I told you, we just purchased 300 gallons of juice.
3,000.
3,000 gallons.
3,000.
And we don't have the capacity for all of that. So a lot of the juice is now sitting in our cold stabilization room at 27 degrees, trying to keep it safe until we have space to put it in a tank. And right now we have Cabernet Franc, Merlot, Noray, Frontenac, Syrah for our reds, and for our whites we have Pinot Gris, Treminet, what's another one?
Maison Blanc.
Maison Blanc, which is a Niagara.
Yeah.
And we have Maison Melage, which is a Niagara peach. We have peach. We've had strawberry, but we're out right now. And we have, we just started doing, what's the matter?
No, it's another call was trying to come in.
We have rhubarb and cherry that we're just now starting out with. That we've never had before, and so we're real excited about that, especially the rhubarb, because I've heard it's a very good selling wine.
That sounds interesting.
We were unable to get the strawberry. So we have about 17 different wines right now.
Your
head bobbing around when you're trying to keep everything going in the cellar.
Oh, yeah. I notice your prices are real reasonable, too. I mean, most of them are right around 12. A couple of them jump up to 14, but your prices are really reasonable on your wines.
Well, I think so. I think people have mentioned that in the past. I mean, I keep hearing people say that our prices are pretty good. Our highest priced wine is Syrah, and that's $18. Our lowest priced wine is Maison Blanc and Harvey Schwartz, which is $8.99. And our Harvey Schwartz is a Concord wine. Has a little bit of oak in it. And the story behind the Harvey Schwartz is that I had a friend of mine from our church that was interested. He used to live in California, and he was very interested in starting a winery or a vineyard, him and his wife both, for years, and they just never did it. So when they found out that we had a winery and a vineyard going, they were very interested. And he was a local farmer.
Ah.
And my knowledge of the vineyard and herbicides and pesticides was very limited. I had to go to school to learn how to do that stuff.
No.
But he said that he would help me to take care of the vineyards with the pesticides and the herbicides and stuff. And so about a week before, we sat out in our gazebo, his wife and I, and we were talking about this relationship we were going to have with the vineyard and everything else, and we were very positive. Everybody was excited about it. We were drinking a bottle of wine and having a good time. And the next week, him and a whole bunch of other members of our church took a plane ride in Fremont, and it crashed.
Oh, no.
And they all died.
Oh.
And Bill died in the crash. And so the plan we had never came true. So I promised his wife I would name a wine after him. And so his alias, he was always a jokester, always making jokes, and you could never tell when Bill was telling the truth or if he's joking. And his alias was Harvey Schwartz.
Uh-huh.
So we named Concord Harvey Schwartz, and it's stuck, and now that's where it is, and that's our communion wine at church.
That's a great testament to sounds like a great guy there.
That's our story. Yes. We're sticking to
yes.
it.
Well, you know, he was a great gentleman.
He was a funny guy.
But, you know, people are really enjoying the name of that wine, too. We get people that come out and they say, well, you know, we've got a date with Harvey tonight, or, you know, we need to take some Harvey home because it's been, you know, we need to relax this evening. We're going to take Harvey home with us. And so it's been a great label and a great wine.
It sounds like it is. Well, you guys, thank you very much for being on now. This is great information. Tell us contact information, how to get a hold of the winery, where it is, all Facebook, everything, all the stuff, any type of ways and all that you...
Well, you can find us at ChateauThibaultWinery.com, and that's T as in Tom, E, B as in Boy, E-A-U, Chateau Thibault Winery. We're also on Facebook under the same name. Our phone number here is 419-638-5411. We're open Thursdays and Fridays. We open at 11 a.m. We're open until 10 p.m. in the evening. Saturday, we're open 2 to 10. We have a menu, tours, grounds, lots of wine to choose from. Special events. We have live music every Friday and Saturday evening, beginning at 7. So it's just a fun, great place to come. And I'll give you the phone number again. It's 419-638-5411.
And if anyone wants to get on the mailing list,
Email info@ChateauThibaultWinery.com. We have an email blitz that I put out just about once a week. It's not real long, but it just tells you what's happening at the winery this weekend and upcoming events, who's playing, and that sort of thing.
Fantastic. Well, thank you both very much for taking the time to join us tonight. You're still open, so you know, thank you for taking the time to join us tonight. I'm sure everyone will enjoy hearing about it, and if anyone's in that area, I know I will. If I'm ever up in that area, be sure to stop by and visit you. And,
all right. Well, we look forward to it.
Where are you from?
Y'all, good luck to you. And we'll be. And Mike, you had something?
No, I thought Bob said something in the background. I wasn't sure if I missed it.
Oh. I said, "Where are you from?"
We're in Florida.
Florida.
Yeah,
oh, my
we're down.
Goodness.
Yeah, down here in the warm.
It's cold up here, man.
I know. We were talking about it might hit the lower 60s tonight and turning on the heat and getting out in our jackets.
Incredible.
Yeah.
60s. No, you're in a heat wave compared to us, man.
Well, thank you all very much for being good with us, and best of luck to you.
Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you, Oswald. Bye-bye.
Thank
bye
you.
Now.
Bye.
All right.
That's interesting.
We have...
yeah, we'll go ahead and bring her on.
Yeah, we have Mary Beth with us from Mattis Winery.
Hi, everybody.
Hi, Mary Beth. Glad you can join us. Are you by yourself, or did Bob get there?
I am. Bob's not back yet, so...
Oh, that's
all
right. No
I'm
problem.
I'm taking it over.
Yeah, you can handle it. Mary, when I talked to Mary Beth earlier, she had a little apprehension about being on, and I told her, you know, it's not a big deal. We're just going to talk. So tell us about Stony Ridge Winery.
Mattis Winery.
Oh, I'm not Stony Ridge. I'm sorry about D&D. I found my tooth. I clicked up the thing here on my screen, and the wrong one came up here. So.
Okay. You're talking to Mattis Winery.
Mattis. I keep on wanting to say Matus. I don't know why.
You know what? Do you remember Matus wine? It's still around. It's Portuguese wine. And it's funny because I used to drink that for a long time before I even became a Mattis.
Yeah, everybody used to drink Matus.
I know. It's good stuff. But not as good as ours.
Really? All right. Well, tell us about Mattis Winery. Where are you located?
Okay, Mattis Winery started. We just celebrated our fifth year in business. We started in 2006. My husband started making wine probably about in the year 2000 in the basement. He was cooking the hooch in the basement. And people started saying how great it was and that he needed to enter some contests, and he did, and he started getting first place.
Wow.
So then some folks said, you know, maybe you ought to think about taking this seriously and really doing something. So he started taking them seriously, and we started making plans for this winery. And he was a tinner by trade. He did sheet metal work. And he worked for General Motors, and they offered him a buyout. So everything kind of fell into place.
Uh-huh.
We opened the winery. He worked another 6 months, took the buyout, and was able to parlay this into a full-time business.
Fantastic.
We offer, right now, we offer 14 kinds of wine.
Wow.
Almost everything is grown here except the Cabernet and the Merlot. It just doesn't do well here. We actually have some Cabernet grapes. He really wanted to have representation of everything on the grounds in the bottle. And he's tried, and for the most part he has. We have a couple specialties. Our big one is called Outback. It's an elderberry-blackberry blend. And the reason he chose the name Outback is because all the stuff was grown Outback.
Uh-huh.
So that has been very, very popular. The newest one that we have is called Purple Haze, and it's a blend, half and half blend of Concord and Niagara. Very popular. Everyone loves it. It's easy to drink. And we also do a sangria. We mix it daily in a jug. It's out of our Sunset wine, which is made from four grapes grown here on the property: Chamerson, Baco Noir, Foch, and Frontenac. And that has become very popular. It's a little drier red table wine. And that is what we use in our sangria. And our sangria is a big hit. We sell that by the glass and by the pitcher.
Uh-huh.
And it's great for beer drinkers, because we get beer drinkers in here that are like, oh. And I always tell everyone, we can convert anyone to wine.
I do the same thing. I know.
Yeah. And it's okay. It's fun.
You said that you grow everything except for the Merlot and Cab. I'm noticing on your wine list here, you have a Traminette, a Gewurztraminer, Terminer, a Chardonnay, a Vidal Blanc. You grow those also?
We do. We have.
Wow.
I think we are probably just under about 4,000 vines here. I'm not sure what that converts to acreage. The whole winery and area sits on about 10 acres. And for a number of years, the Mattises have been around for a long time. My father-in-law farms, and my husband as well, farm soybeans and some corn. So a lot of the ground that the grapes are growing on now used to be, it's always been farmland. So the Mattis family's been around out here for about 80 years.
Wow.
So we're just changing the farming style a little bit.
Going into grapes and what did they used to grow then in that area?
And soybeans and corn. And there's still soybeans out on this property and corn as well. So there's been some farming going on for a number of years. We've just kind of changed the crop a little bit. But it's proved to do very well in this area. We weren't quite sure. We have clay soil. So the rain that we get, it gets trapped in the ground, and the moisture proves well for the grapevines.
So you do have clay there then?
We do.
Yeah, that's, you know, I was born and raised in Missouri, and so I'm well aware of clay. It's nasty stuff.
It is for so many things, but it proves to do really well for the grapes. Because even when it got hot and dry for a long time, that moisture was trapped in there, and it allowed them to flourish.
Oh, well, that's good. We just talked to, I don't know if you heard any of it, Chateau Thibault Winery,
yes.
And they said that they were talking about a very wet summer you had up in that area.
We have a record-breaking year with rain. You know, in the spring, it was kind of iffy. And I know, like, my husband has to try to save the grapes from the frost. And there were times when he'd just pound up and down the rows and just spraying water on them throughout the night until sun up in order to keep them from freezing. And he beat it. He really did. A couple of things got lost, but he stayed on top of it and he beat it. And then throughout the summer, all that water, we do have tiling done, so there's good drainage. But, again, the clay soil traps enough moisture to allow it to live. Because we went through a few dry spells, too. The rains came early and fast and furious. It was hard for a lot of the farmers in the local areas to get their crops in. So
wow.
It was really like, okay, this is the day we do it, and that's pretty much how it went.
It just we've talked to quite a few wineries around the country and different things, and it's amazing the weather patterns, how it's really playing havoc with a lot of vineyards. It's really.
It is. It is. But so far we've been very blessed, and hopefully that continues.
The your Catawba and Concord and Niagara's? Three. You grow those also?
We do.
Oh wow.
We don't have a lot of Catawba. We have some. And they do very well here. They're pretty much natural
cold
for this
plants.
Area.
Yeah,
yeah.
They're good
and they do real well. We actually have some vines, the Concord vines. My husband's uncle grew grapes for a number of years, and as he got older, he passed away a couple years ago at the age of 91. As things got on, he'd always told my husband, you know, Bobby, you can have these vines, you know, you take care of them and all the grapes for them and this and that. Well, as he got up in years and his health started to fail, my husband took those vines and propagated them. And he actually successfully transferred a few of those vines. Some of those vines are like 70 years old.
Wow.
And they are on the property now. And that's been a very special thing. And our Concord wine is called Martin's Concord, and it is named for his uncle.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah,
yeah.
Concord is a pretty hearty grape for that part of the country, for the northern
part
of the
country. It is, and it's so popular. And, you know, my husband's, it would be my mother-in-law's cousin, grew Concord, and I think he grew Niagara, but I know for sure he grew an abundance of Concord grapes just about 25 miles east of here. And he was a supplier to Welch's grapes.
Oh.
Grape juice. So they really are indigenous to this area, and they do very well. So, you know, companies like that look to this area to supply their need.
Do you do anything besides just the wines? I mean, do you do any jellies or jams or anything with it? Or
personally, I do, but as far as selling them, no. The thing that we do on Friday evenings, we offer a Friday night dinner. They are catered by various restaurants and such in the area. Each Friday it's different. It's based on a first-come, first-serve. We try to hit the popular ones, and it's a nice draw. Folks come in, they get a nice meal, they can enjoy their wine. We always have entertainment on Friday nights and Saturday nights. Usually if the weather's good, there's a fire out on the patio, and people can just, because we're out in the country, you can see the stars for miles around. And inside, with winter coming, we have a fireplace, a two-sided fireplace, and we have an upstairs. We moved an old barn from the 1860s from down the road and attached it to the winery, and it has made a very pleasant environment. Lots of folks come out. We rent it for special occasions. We've had a number of weddings here. Been very fun. And we have other events for this month. Next week we have a chili cook-off, and just folks in the area bring in their chili, and we have a few judges. We give away prizes, and everybody gets to enjoy it. The proceeds go to the Akron Children's Hospital, dedicated to a friend of ours who beat cancer as a kid, and this is our third year for that, and it just keeps getting better and better each year.
Wow, that sounds like I'm looking at your especially event site here. You guys are busy.
We do all kinds of things.
Yeah, you see that, Mike? I mean, it just
they're packed. November and December. You've got a lot of things going on there. What? And I don't want to sidetrack off the wine aspect.
That's okay.
Well, this is probably related, but November 2nd. It looks like every month. What is the Dead Yeast Society?
The Dead Yeast Society. That is a home winemakers club. And, you know, as I said, we live rurally, so the nearest large town is 10 miles away. And they really don't have a whole lot to offer as far as wine supplies, wine making supplies. And so my husband got with a company, which is in Cuyahoga Falls, which is near Akron, a suburb of Cleveland. And we now sell winemaking supplies and beer making supplies for folks. And the Dead Yeast Society just came about from a group of winemakers just in the area that wanted to have a place to go to compare notes. They are varying degrees of winemakers. You know, some are novice, some are old hat, and some are like retired scientists, botany professors and such.
Wow.
And they just compare notes, and they can bring their wine and say, oh, my gosh, I got something going on here. Can you help me figure out what it is? And it has grown from just, you know, probably a dozen. I think they have nearly 50 members at this point. And
wow.
They meet each month, and they chose their name wisely, the Dead Yeast Society. But it has proven to be a great thing for all the folks that come. They just met last night, and they're planning their Christmas party. And they try to do a lot of events. And like I said, they compare their notes with their wine, and some of them are just, they're awesome. They are just awesome. And the rest of them are going to be awesome because they're working real hard.
Well, Mike, under Home Winemakers on her menu page to the left there, under Home Winemakers.
There it is, yeah.
Tells a little bit more about it there. And I saw that. That's interesting. It was a great idea, too, to have the supplies there and then have the meetings there.
They do. And they've been it's been good for all of us. You know, it's good for them and it's good for us. They, as I said, the group has just grown, and they do so many events. You know, they've done some bus trips, they've gone on some field trips to some local orchards, they've gone to some other wineries, and it's been they've tried to make it like an adult field trip. You know, they're trying to get a lot of information out to people that are interested in it, because you know sometimes in the city there's provisions for this, but out here, you know, people are, well, we have to send for this or we have to drive, you know. But it provides something out in the middle of nowhere for people to come.
That sounds like a great idea. And I'm thinking about carrying winemaking supplies at my winery up here. I will email you and ask you your contact information if you don't mind.
Because okay, sure, that's fine.
I'm on the ground floor of this, and you've got a great idea that with having a group there and all that. So,
and you know, our thing, we have a small retail area, and I mean it's small. It's probably like, I don't know, 10 by 10, if that. It's a small area, and then we have it glassed off. But, you know, we carry what folks need, and then once a month I make the trip to the place and I pick up the stuff, and that's what we need. We take special order for things. You know, sometimes we get some kind of oddball things that we don't always carry. Each fall and each spring we do a juice order. My husband has a connection and he gets juices from all over. Sometimes it's Chilean, sometimes it's California. And especially the home winemakers, they get in on that. They choose what they want, and that gives them another avenue. They can have another kind of juice. We do sell some of our juice. It depends on which grape we had a surplus of. You know, if we, you know, my husband uses what he needs and whatever's left, he offers that out to the home winemakers. And then after that, we put it on our weekly emails, which we send out to folks that come in and sign up. I send out a weekly email telling them what the events are and if there's anything, if they'd like to place a juice order or whatever. So our customers are well informed. We'll say that.
That's great. That's fine. I noticed on your, I need to back up. You were talking about Friday dinners here.
Yes.
And you have there's a place on your website that shows Friday dinners. I noticed Lorenzo's involved a lot there. Is Lorenzo a personal
friend?
You know,
they've become even more so. Lorenzo's is an established restaurant that's in the nearest town, which is Oberlin, Ohio, where Oberlin College is. Some folks might be familiar with that. It's a very popular liberal arts college. Pretty held in pretty high esteem. Lorenzo's has been a fixture in that town for a long time, and their food, their pizza is known far and wide. And just this year, the owner, his name is Larry, approached me, and he got into a Neapolitan brick oven pizza. All of the ingredients have been imported, and he pulls his truck up with this, it looks like an adobe igloo, and he's out there burning special wood, and these pizzas are cooked in 3 minutes, and they are the best pizzas. So that, and then some of their other offerings, I know for December I have them on twice. We want to do their pizzas, and their lasagna is just to die for. This month we're going to be featuring the chicken marsala. The food is just phenomenal. So we try to do that.
And I haven't had
people know
yet.
Them. People are familiar with the name, and it brings them out here, and they get to enjoy some wine and a good meal and a lot of fun.
It sounds like it. Your stainless steel or oak, what do you use?
Well, we just stopped with the oak barrels, and we've gone to stainless steel, and then he adds the wood to it to get the flavoring just right.
Uh-huh. So instead of the expense of it, he's going logs or chips or, you know.
Yeah, I know. That is what it's gone to. It just depends on the amount, whether he goes into the full boards. I know one of our employees visited a winery, and this a woman, the winemaker, had been doing this for years and just adding oak boards to it and getting a really nice finish on it. So, you know, he's experimented a little bit. That's one thing. He experiments in all kinds of ways, and that is how good wine gets born.
That's true. You play with it, and all of a sudden you go, oh, wow. You know, and that's
yes.
Exactly how it works.
Eureka, look what we've discovered. And it has happened. Back when he was making it in the basement, I never knew what he was going to come up with. Some of it was like, wow. Some of it was hot and on fire, and some of it was dead on. And you know, it's proven. It's definitely proven itself.
Great. What your summer highs around that area there, what do you usually hit on your summer highs?
You know, this year, early in the spring when they were making predictions, they thought, oh, there won't be more than 5 days above 90. This year we had a lot of 90 days amongst all that rain, too. I would venture a guess our average is probably about 84 degrees if you averaged out the summer.
That's not too bad.
We have Lake Erie. We're on the shores of Lake Erie. We're about, we are exactly 12 miles inland.
Oh,
so I think
well,
we benefit a little bit from some lake effect. Not maybe as severe as up, but I do think we benefit from that.
With all the rain you had in the spring and then the highs getting up in the 90s, do you have any problem with fungus and
yes.
rot? You know, I can
yes.
imagine.
And my husband is he has a certification for sprays. And yeah, we had, and I know that was a problem for a lot of folks this year. So,
yeah.
But you know what? He stayed ahead of it. You know, you can see it when it takes its toll on those leaves, but you can also see it when it begins, and he's able to nip that in the bud.
Well put.
yes. Oh, yes. No pun intended there.
No pun intended. Mike, you have any other comments?
Yeah, I was just looking at your upcoming chili cook-off on November the 12th.
Yes.
That's Saturday night there in Wakeman,
yes.
Ohio.
Yes.
It looks like a really great event. And again, you said the benefit was Akron Children's. I'm looking on here. Children's Pediatric
Akron Children's Hospital, and they have a cancer unit, and that's where it goes.
That's
it
great.
Goes straight to their unit, and it helps. They actually have a fund there too for folks that come from far and they need a place to stay, or even if they need to provide gas money or whatever.
Wow.
And when we make sure that it's gone into that fund, and they've been very, of course, they've been very welcoming to it. And we're just glad to do it because someone very close to us beat leukemia. And now he has a long life to look forward to. And we're just happy to help.
Great.
That's wonderful.
Good to hear that.
Starts at 5:30 PM. And if anyone wants to join or enter the chili cook-off, you can bring the chili, it says, between 5 p.m. and 5:15 p.m.
Absolutely.
And you have prizes. You have prizes. There's going to be entertainment at 8 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like a great event. And then the other thing I wanted to mention is I don't know if we've ever talked to a winery that is open as late as you all are down here.
Yeah,
That makes us the exception to the rule. It is a party here.
Like,
and
yeah.
I tell you, when the local wineries in the area, you know that most of them close at 10, we usually get the leftovers, but they're glad to party. And it's true. So our entertainment usually plays until midnight, so it provides a full evening. You know, on Fridays and Saturdays, we're open for 12 hours, and it's
wow.
okay. We cater to every every person that wants whatever. If they want a quiet time, then they come before 8 o'clock. If they want a meal, they show up at 5:30.
That's amazing. That's great.
Oh, that sounds fantastic. It really does. It's great.
We do a couple special events, too. We do a clam bake in the fall, which is always a hit. This year's weather, we had 50-mile-an-hour gusts. We had tents on the lawn, and I thought, oh, my gosh, how are we going to do this? And, you know, at the very last minute, the winds, they didn't stop, but they subsided enough because we can seat about 120 people, and we sold 150-some tickets, and I thought,
whoa,
oh, my gosh. But, as I said, it was... The stars were in alignment, and it allowed for all our folks to enjoy a good meal that evening.
That sounds exciting. Sounds like you guys really got it going up there. You know,
it's a good time. You know, we got to keep things hopping to keep people happy, and you know what? It's working.
It sounds like it. It sounds like just a great place. You know, starting to let it all fall into place there, and it sounds like just a wonderful place to visit.
Now, not that we can rest easy, but maybe now we can breathe a little bit. Yep. Now we kind of have a system going, and it seems to be working.
A lot of the events going on there, too, and that always helps. That's one of the big things
does.
about
always
a winery.
Give somebody something to do.
Yeah, and that is a big plus there. Oh, well, Mike, you have any other questions?
That was it.
All right. Well, Mary Beth, thank you so very much for taking time being on the program with us tonight.
Well, thank you for thinking of us. We appreciate you calling on us.
Before you leave, though, I want you to give us all the information about Mattis Winery again, the web address, phone numbers, Facebook, emails, everything, so anyone out there wants to get a hold of you, they can do it in any way they want.
Okay, that's great. Well, we are Mattis Winery. We are located in Wakeman, Ohio. Our phone number is 440-774-WINE, and our website is mattiswinery.us. You can reach us. We do have a Facebook page. You can also reach us by email at mattis_winery@yahoo.com. And there's usually somebody here, even though our hours are Thursdays, 4 to 10, Fridays and Saturdays, noon to midnight. There's usually somebody here Monday through Friday by 9 o'clock in the morning. So if you have any questions and you'd like to place a phone call, we'd be more than happy to talk to you.
Fantastic. Thank you, Mary Beth, very much. And I will be in touch with you because I'm going to get some information about where you're getting those supplies. So
okay.
I will be in touch
with
you
about
that.
We'll see what we can do
for you. And thank you very much for taking the time to be on with us tonight. You did a great job. You didn't have
to
have Bob. You did a wonderful job yourself.
He just walked in right at the tail end. I didn't really tell him what I was doing.
Hi, Bob. I got one question for Bob.
You know what? Oops. I don't know where he went. He just came in and went back out the door.
They sound like they're busy there. I hear people in the background. It's busy.
Yeah. I'm actually in the storeroom sitting on a box.
is this picture of this gentleman with wine juice all over him, Bob?
Oh, that picture with all, like, the explosion?
Yes.
Actually, that was one of our kid workers. He had been out. He had been ill. It was his first day back, and they were pressing elderberries for that Outback wine, and the bladder in the press totally exploded, and all we could see were the whites of his eyes and his nice white teeth.
That's it, too. That's it.
That was it. That has been, like, the precious picture. That's the screensaver on our computer.
It is hilarious.
It is so good. So that's his claim to fame for the rest of his life.
Yes, he had a bladder explode on him.
Yep, exactly.
Well, Mary Beth, thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Wonderful evening, what's left of it, and best of luck to you and Bob in your venture up there. And
very
I'll
good.
Be in touch with you over the next few days.
Okay, very good. Thank you very much for the opportunity.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye now.
All right. Wow. That's interesting that they have a club... The Dead Yeast Society for a home.
I like
that. That's another wow. Very interesting.
Great idea. I like that. That's you open it up for people, and then you have your supplies there, and you know, you compare notes and all that. That's always something that's great. We will continue next week in Ohio simply because I've got other people who are going to be on with us next week. So
Okay.
But
very cool.
We're not done this evening, though, because I gave a little tease last week on the radio, and I got to go through this stuff here. So we're going to get away from Ohio and leave them until next week. But I want to talk to you all a little bit about champagne. It is the season that champagne is going to start flowing more. Let me preface that with the fact that champagne can be drank anytime. You don't have to wait for special occasions. You don't have to wait for New Year's or holidays. You don't have to wait for somebody doing something special. Champagne is something that you can have all the time and any time. So, you know, pull out your champagne. It's not just champagne either. Champagne's a name that's reserved basically for the bubbly out of France. But there's all sorts of other champagne-style wines coming out of all over the world. And, you know, I didn't do my homework. I really should have to tell you what the names were for the Spanish and for the Italian. And I know them, and I can't think of them right now. I'm sure everyone out there is going, yeah, it's this. But I'm sorry. I just can't think of them right now.
What is it, a Spanish name for what?
A champagne.
Oh,
or for bubbly, and the Italian name for bubbly. I think it's cava, cavi, or something like that for Spanish, and prosecco or something like that for Italian. I'm not sure. I've got a blank right now. But
okay,
blends of champagne. The classic blend in champagne. This is where most champagne houses is the entry level non vintage champagne. It's the most produced line of champagnes, and of all three of the champagne grapes, and champagne grapes are Chardonnay, Pinot Noir, and Pinot Meunier, M-E-U-N-I-E-R, Meunier. Though the percentage of these blends vary from house to house, your basic blend of champagne is made from these grapes, and it'll vary year to year on style and from house to house, from village to village, from vintage to vintage, and all that stuff. That's your classic champagne. Good pairing this classic champagne with pizza or any mild food. You don't want something too heavy. Blanc de Blanc. This literally translates into white from white, meaning that the white wine from white grapes is used. In short, basically 100% Chardonnay. This is when you see something, say, Blanc de Blanc champagne, that is 100% Chardonnay grapes. It's probably considered the most elegant form of champagne. It's a perfect aperitif, good with light meals, for sipping at receptions and stuff like this. It's great with raw seafood, oysters, scallops, codfish, stuff like that, cooked mild seafood, vegetarian dishes, or just light white meat. You don't want something real heavily seasoned or anything, the Blanc de Blanc. Rosé champagne. Now, rosés you see a lot, and most of the ones you see are cheap, but you can get yourself some very expensive rosé champagne. Some of your high-end champagne bottles are also available in the rosé, which they usually cost a little bit more. They can be made two different ways. Sangiovese is the more traditional but uncommon way to make it. This requires contact of the still wine, with the skins of the grapes, which is the Pinot Noir and Pinot Meunier. It's a little tricky to do this, and you have trouble controlling the desired colors and stuff. It could go very dark on you, or it could be just a little bit too light. The second method is blending red and white, which you can come up with exactly the color you want on that, which is used quite often. The first method, again, being tricky. When you pair this stuff with, think pink, orange, red, smoked salmon, fresh salmon, tomato, watermelon. All that's very good. And think about this stuff now. A little bubbly champagne with watermelon, that has to sound delicious. Blanc de Noir. This is a wine made predominantly with the black skin grapes as opposed to Blanc de Blanc. Again, the Pinot Noir and the Pinot Meunier. It is the opposite end of the style of the Blanc de Blanc. It's more heavy. It's deeper, richer colors. Red fruits, mushrooms, stuff like that. This goes well with pork or veal or something a little bit more substance to it, just like red wines, basically. And then single village The majority of champagnes are blends of the Chardonnay, Pinot Noir, and Pinot Noir from different villages, different growing areas or different villages within the Champagne region. But the style of single village is made from a grape or grapes from a single village. It will tell you on the label, too, if it's a single village champagne. These are true terroir wines. Again, terroir is the influence of the earth and sun and ground and everything going into the grape. They show you distinctive flavors of the land and the area it's growing and stuff like that. It's going to cost you a little bit more, too, usually, the single village wines. Sweetness in champagne, the sweetness levels. Range of sweetness for champagnes are usually broke down into four types, four common sweetness levels. Zero dosage or brut zero, B-R-U-T, brut pronounced. This is the driest style of champagne. Okay, so zero dosage or brut zero, driest style of champagne with a sugar level of fewer than 3 grams of sugar per liter added during the last stage of champagne making. So 3 grams of sugar. Grams is not a whole heck of a lot, let me tell you. I measure out stuff quite a bit, and grams add up real fast. To give you an idea, a quarter would probably weigh more than 3 grams. So it's not a lot of sugar added at the end, per liter at the end there. This goes well with raw oysters, raw meat, steak tartare, and stuff like that. Extra brut, B-R-U-T. This is up to 6 grams of sugar per liter. This wine is still pretty dry compared to the standard brut. Okay, due to the high acidity and low sugar, this wine will tend to shock your mouth immediately. It's very raw, if you will. But it's, you know, once you taste a couple, 3 sips of it, then you start going, wow, it has a lot of character, a lot of depth to it. Fried food works very well with this. Because of the little bit of acidic taste, it cuts through the grease of fried food very, very nicely. Brut, B-R-U-T, the most common style of champagne. You find this all over the place. Pronounced brut, B-R-U-T. This is a little bit sweeter, not the sweeter than the other two, and the most common type you're going to find anywhere. This is paired with food that has a little bit more depth, a little bit more texture. You don't want something too delicate. You don't want something that's too light. You want something that will hold up with this. And then the last one in the sweetness level is the Demisec, D-E-M-I-S-E-C, Demisec. This style has basically fallen out of fashion. You don't see it too often. It's a sweet dessert champagne, and it could be very sweet, as much as 50 grams of sugar per liter. Just like really, really sweet champagne. It's not common. You don't find it too often. This is dessert. I mean, really, you don't pair this with much of anything. You have this at the end of the meal with a nice cow's milk cheese that's not too creamy, something a little bit more body to it. I wouldn't go with goat cheese or anything else because the goat cheese will start affecting the flavors. So, but if you find Demisec, expect something very, very sweet. Then aging of champagnes, the age of champagnes. When you see something that says NV on the bottle or non-vintage champagne, is made from a blend of still wines from different years. It is usually a young wine meant to be drank and not aged. Don't put it away. Don't save it. Don't do anything with it. Chill it. Take it home and pour it for dinner. Next one, vintage. This is a wine from a single year of vintage champagne. So it's always from the vintage in which the grapes showed exceptionally well. It's a serious wine. It will improve with cellaring. You can put this away for, sometimes years and years. Champagnes will hold up well for years. It's a cuisine wine, if you will. Pair this with older champagnes are made to be with stand up with meat. It's like having a vintage wine, a cab or something with a steak. I mean, the vintage champagnes will give you the same type of taste and a balance in the mouth. And one other thing, the colder the bottle of champagne, the less the cork will pop out. So if you have a very cold bottle of champagne, the cork's not going to jump out as far, not going to shoot out as far. A little bit warmer it is, the further it will shoot out. Actually, you don't want it extremely cold. That's not really the best way to serve it, but you don't want it too warm either. Always use a towel over your cork. You don't want to hit somebody in the head or the eye or something. You don't want to break something in the house either. If you're going to have a champagne shooting cork contest, then step outside and measure it out. So the champagne. Holidays coming up, but again, it's not just for the holidays. Enjoy it just about any time.
And it has to be called champagne only if it's from
the Champagne region of France, right?
So okay.
It's certain region of France where they grow, where they do, and it's the champagne. Technically, that is champagne.
Is there any kind of violation? Like if I, put a sticker or a label on something and called it champagne instead of sparkling wine, but it's not really from there?
If you subscribe to the rules and regulations and all that of France, yes, there is violations and you can be fined, removed,
wow,
late, all that. But the United States doesn't subscribe to that, so that's why you can see United States champagnes all over the place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but okay. Again, they don't call it champagne in places like Spain and Italy and stuff. There's different names for it, which means the same thing, which means sparkling wine. Technically, anything outside of the Champagne region is sparkling wine. It's not champagne. Just like Chardonnay. Chardonnay's name of a grape, you can call Chardonnay everywhere, but you can't call it a Chablis everywhere because it's the name of a region.
Huh.
Same thing with Burgundy. Burgundy is the name of a region. Although it's a red wine and it's a blend and stuff, you can't call it, or not a blend, it's a red wine and you can't call it a Burgundy, even if it is made from a Pinot Noir grape, because it's not from the Burgundy region.
Wow.
So most everybody names it after grapes. Same thing with champagne. Champagne is named after a region, just like Chianti Classico, that can only be called in Italy. That is one region, one area. So,
wow.
So,
okay.
Champagne, enjoy it all the time.
I don't know when that show was. Was it last year about the same time or the year before last?
We did
almost a whole show on champagne.
Yeah, we did. It's in the archives. If somebody wants to go back and listen to it, it has to be more than a year. We've been on the United States for almost a year and a half now.
Yes, we have. And we still haven't left Florida.
And we still haven't. Yeah, that's sad.
Between me trying to make flying arrangements and you with the RV thing, we just haven't connected on a common thing here yet. So.
That's right. We're still looking for those sponsors.
That's right. We'll spend quite a long time advertising sponsors on here.
That's right.
Heck yeah. Marathon. What's that place?
Yes, Marathon. Paris.
That's right.
Yeah. We'll put a big banner on the side. This is a marathon bus. We don't care.
Absolutely. Yeah. Hand out your business cards, whatever you want to do.
That's right. Yeah. We don't care. Yeah.
Nope. No, we're easy in that department. So, definitely looking for sponsors so we can take this show on the road. There we go. All right. Well, very good. Very good.
Very good. Good program tonight. Good people.
You don't have events this weekend, but I believe next weekend you have is it the Wine Fest next weekend?
Correct.
Okay. And then was it next weekend? Because this weekend is the 6th. Okay. So next weekend you have Wine Fest, and then the following weekend you have another wine class.
Correct.
I believe. On the 19th, I read somewhere on there, but I was looking at the website. All right.
And then let's jump ahead a little bit while we're talking about this.
Yes.
On December the 10th, we have a fest, but that is also our 10th birthday. So, No, that's
huh?
good.
That's the other O.
There, we clap and applaud. Kent Burchill. I hit the wrong button now. Thanks. They don't shut up, do they?
Wow. They are really enthusiastic. Yeah, you did the disappointed one, so you could get
Yeah,
like
I did. I saw that once I hit the button. It was too late because it's only 1 second long.
10-year anniversary.
Ooh, there you go. That's the one I want. Yeah, we're 10th birthday party, so we'll be having birthday cake. We'll be giving out presents or door prizes and doing all sorts of stuff. So that's
cool.
Coming up on December the 10th. But we got events all through November here, so.
Yeah.
But I wanted to mention that.
Yeah, we're really not affected by winter here. So.
No, we're not. Not really. Yeah.
We remain open, open daily. Yeah, I might as well go ahead and go through that. We'll go through the contact information for Florida State's Winery. Let's see, located 4 miles west of Interstate 75 on State Road 52. That is exit 285. Here in Pasco County. So you want to go I-75 to exit 285 and go west about 4 miles. Or you can also reach the winery from US 41, US 19. Go east on State Road 52, and you'll see a few miles past US 41 on the left-hand side some signs for a winery. Go that direction. It's for those of you with GPSs, you can plug in 25241 State Road 52. That is the physical address, 25241 State Road 52, Land O'Lakes, Florida. That is 34639 is the zip code. Or use the phone. Pick up the phone and call for more information. It's getting even rarer these days than ever. But you can actually pick up the phone and call the winery at 813-996-2113. 813-996-2113. Or email Florida State's Winery at corp@flewn.com, corp@flewn.com. And visit the website, www.floridaestateswines.com, floridaestateswines.com. Stop in sometime, open daily, 11 a.m. until 6 p.m. And you also, rent your location for special events, perfect place for weddings. You got giant oak trees in the back. It's a great place to have a picnic, enjoy some great wine, and just enjoy a great day. It's always great over there at the winery. Most major credit cards are accepted, closed major holidays, and it is also pet friendly. So got a neat gift shop, and sell wines from there, and it's great. So stop on by Florida State's Winery on State Road 52 in Land O'Lakes, Florida, and tell them you heard about them on All About Wine, and they'll go, oh, cool, all right. Yeah, it's always good to hear. So definitely plug this in on your calendars. That's December 10th, the Wine Fest 10th birthday anniversary of Florida State's Winery there at Florida State's Winery. Be sure to visit during that time. It's going to be great. So that'll be cool. We'll have to announce that the rest of the month and on through the beginning of the show in December.
Yeah.
So that'll be really cool.
Yeah, we're looking for 10 years. That sounds great, yeah.
Wow, that's good. Okay,
yeah,
I guess next week we will continue.
With Ohio.
Okay.
Maybe 2 weeks in Ohio.
Okay. We'll continue with Ohio, and stay tuned to the show. Follow us on Facebook. That is facebook.com/allaboutwineBTR. BTR is in Blog Talk Radio. That's all one word. It doesn't sound like it, but it is. All About Wine BTR on Facebook. And you can get all show information, subscribe to it, like us on Facebook, and you get notices whenever they are posted about upcoming guests. And it's really cool. I get them on my cell phone as a text message, so that works out really good. And stay informed that way of what's happening on the show. And you can also friend us here on Blog Talk Radio. If you create an account, you can become one of our friends on here, send us messages on here, or you can email the show. Through regular email, it's allaboutwine101@gmail.com. allaboutwine101@gmail.com. So communicate with us. Let us know you're listening and everything. So good. Okay. We'll see you all next Saturday at 7 p.m.
Next Thursday.
Next Thursday at... I'm looking at something. Okay. I'm looking at your flyer with the wines. I don't know where I got Saturday from. Join us next Thursday. I don't know. At 7 p.m. Eastern
Saturday, they're going, where are they?
Yeah, what? They're static or something. I don't know what they're saying.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what? You can listen to the archives on Saturday and join us live on Thursday.
There you go.
Yeah, how about that?
That works. Yeah.
I guess that's what I was not trying to. Okay. Yeah, we'll see you all next Thursday, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on Blog Talk Radio. Thank you all for listening, and have a great week, and stay cool. Warm,
thank you, everyone, for listening.
All right. Thank you. See you.
Oh, what happened? Oh, I know. You there? You there?
I don't think I have to sing this now. I just told you.
Oh, there you are.
Oh, am I not? Was I not there?
You weren't there. You were gone. It did 10 seconds, and boom, you were gone.
Oh, well, we're on the record. We're on the live show now. Well,
yeah,
the recorded
but it's not
version.
Recording anymore. It's done, I think.
I thought it says REC at the top.
Yeah, I see that. But the episode ended. The live episode ended. We're recording now. Well, maybe we should get back into the green room.
Yeah, probably. By the way, the last few minutes of the recorded show is for sale if you'd like to purchase time on it. You know, if you have an RV or want to pay for gas or something.
Yeah,
expenses. That'd be good. Okay,
yeah,
I'll go over there.
We'll talk about you all the time. Yeah.
That whole time is yours.
That's right. We can just promo you for 15 minutes there. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
Let me go into the green room.
Yeah.
Oh my God, the door's locked. I can't get the green room open. Oh, there it is.